A demagogue is defined as a political leader who gains support by appealing to people's prejudices instead of by using rational arguments. Author Larry Tye says at the core, a demagogue is a bully. For his new book, Tye has profiled a poster boy for 20th century demagoguery, Joseph McCarthy. The Republican senator from Wisconsin became known in the 1950s for whipping up fear with unfounded claims that everywhere from Washington to Hollywood had been infiltrated by communist spies. It was known as the Red Scare. Larry Tye's book is called Demagogue, The Life and Long Shadow of Senator Joe McCarthy. He says he started writing the book when Donald Trump had just been elected. Tye would scour the secret documents he'd been given about McCarthy. Then he'd pick up a news article about President Trump, and it was easy to get the two men confused.
Whether it was the way that demagogues point fingers and create scapegoats, and in Joe McCarthy's case, the obvious scapegoats were alleged communists behind every pillar in the U.S. State Department, and in Donald Trump's case, the scapegoats were the rapacious immigrants pouring across our border. Whether it was the way each of them aimed a wrecking ball at any assailant, or the way that when the news was bad, they blamed the newsmen and the newswomen.
Take us to the Lincoln Day dinner that Joe McCarthy spoke at. And this is when he basically made that calculation that I could give a speech here that will be boring, or I could give a speech that would make headlines and keep me in the public eye. Take us there.
It was February of 1950, and the Lincoln Day dinner is a day that Republicans all across America get together to celebrate their patron saint, Abe Lincoln. And if you're a prominent U.S. senator, you get invited to places like Boston and New York or Chicago. If you were Joe McCarthy in 1950, you got invited to what his staff called Wheeling, West by God, Virginia. He shows up there that night with two speeches in his briefcase. One is on a topic he actually knew something about. It was a snoozer of a speech on national housing policy. And if he had pulled that speech from his briefcase that night, Lisa, 70 years later, you and I wouldn't be here talking about Joe McCarthy. But instead, he reached deeper into his briefcase. He pulled out a speech where he charged that there were 205 communist spies in our State Department, that President Truman should have known about them, and that they were why we were living in mortal fear of the Soviet Union. What he was holding in his hand that night may have been his grocery list. It may have been some recycling of ancient charges, but it sure as heck wasn't a list of 205 spies in the State Department because they didn't exist. But it worked.
So there never was such a list.
There was never such a list.
205 spies that we have.
There were never that many spies. All the 24-carat spies had been exposed long before. And it was said over the years in a joking way, but I think it was true, that Joe McCarthy could have been dropped into the middle of Red Square on May Day and not known how to pick out a communist. And he proved that true over the next 4.5 years when he would invent charges, target people who were at most guilty of having had some leftist fling, maybe in college, but he didn't uncover any serious spies. He did, however, make his name synonymous with reckless accusation and political double dealing to the point where 70 years later, Joe McCarthy may be dead, but McCarthyism is alive and well.
What kind of an impact did those accusations have on politicians, on those he was accusing, on those who had to come before his committee and in some cases be humiliated, lose their jobs?
Joe McCarthy always used to say, name one person whose life I made worse. Well, I found that there were hundreds of people whose careers were ruined. There were millions of people who were silenced and still are to this day for fear that if they say something that seems too liberal, they'll have fingers pointed at them, accusing them of being a socialist and a communist. But most disturbing to me were the dozen people who I could point to, including two U.S. senators, who actually took their own lives because of what they told us in their letters that they left behind, or what their relatives told us were absolutely a direct connection to Joe McCarthy targeting them. The targeting was serious enough, the devastation was serious enough, that they committed suicide.
We have seen, in some cases, Donald Trump at press conferences make accusations that he cannot back up and talk about rumors, things that he has heard that sound like the equivalent of Joe McCarthy holding in his hand these papers that supposedly had the names of spies in the American State Department. Do you think Donald Trump has had a similar effect on those people who he has accused and in some cases bullied in public?
So I think Donald Trump has had a devastating effect on a lot of people that he bullied, from people in Congress to people throughout the federal bureaucracy to people throughout the country. And I think we will be taking the same kind of body count with Donald Trump that we did with Joe McCarthy.
How did Joe McCarthy eventually lose power and basically lose his life, in part because he was so shunned?
So it was in the most famous set of congressional hearings ever held, the so-called Army McCarthy hearings, where Joe McCarthy took on an enemy that was too big to bully, the U.S. Army. And over the course of those months-long hearings, the American public got to see that this guy who they thought was their champion, in fact, looked more like the town rowdy. And there was a famous lawyer from Boston named Joe Welch, who in the middle of those hearings stood up and said, "Senator, have you no sense of decency?" And I think what was compelling about what Welch said was that all of America wanted to ask the same question by that point. McCarthy starts out the hearings with a 50% popularity rating. By the end of the hearings, his numbers are down to 34%. And once he lost public support, the U.S. Senate developed the backbone to censure him. They did that in December of 1954, and from then until his death in 1957, Joe McCarthy essentially drank himself to his grave.
But when we look at the results of the November election, Donald Trump has not been abandoned as Joe McCarthy was. He still has a very enthusiastic base. He got over 74 million votes. That's 47% of the vote. So even if you see him as a bully and as a demagogue, he's retaining a lot of his cachet.
So I'm an optimist, and I look at the fact that even though he got all of those votes, Joe Biden got a lot more votes, and that even though Donald Trump will still have a megaphone, it won't be the megaphone of the White House.
In the Joe McCarthy era, liberals were afraid to speak their minds because they were afraid of being accused of being a socialist or a communist, the worst thing you could be accused of then. So they didn't dare speak out, many of them. Republicans have been accused of the same thing now with Donald Trump. Even when they disagree with his politics, they're afraid of being named in a rant or a tweet from the president or called a socialist. What did you learn about how those liberals in the McCarthy era felt after he was out that may be instructive to how conservatives could potentially feel in the coming years?
I think that we have to look at who enables a demagogue like that to rise to power. And it's partly the public that elects them, but it is also, in the case of Donald Trump, all the people in the Senate and throughout the government that understood the absurdity of some of his charges, but never stood up for fear of his political wrecking ball that he would aim at them. And exactly that same way back in Joe McCarthy's days, his fellow senators only stood up at the end when McCarthy's popularity had taken a deep dive. And even President Eisenhower, the wartime hero commander-in-chief, stood up to McCarthy much too late. Eisenhower was McCarthy's enabler-in-chief. But I think the really good news is that while it took Joe McCarthy's death to end McCarthy's political career, it took Huey Long being assassinated and George Wallace being struck by a bullet that made his presidential campaign come to an end. In the Donald Trump era, it was the voters who tossed out the bully. And I think I have ultimate faith in the American public, and they lived up to my faith in this last election.
Larry Tighe is the author of the book Demagogue, The Life and Long Shadow of Senator Joe McCarthy. Nice to speak with you, Larry. Thank you.
Great to speak with you, Lisa Mullins.